Chapter 9. Friday at Bluford passed by in a blur. Tyrae struggled through each class, waiting for the bell to ring so he would be one step closer to the end of the day. At lunchtime, Lark sat with Jamie, and only once did Tyrae see her glance in his direction. He also saw Daryl laughing with a group of kids. "Just wait," he thought, feeling the weight of his mother's money in his pocket. "Just wait." After school, Tyrae swiftly walked to the fast food restaurant where he had run into Bones a week earlier. He never felt more eager. His arms shook with nervous energy, and his stomach felt uncomfortably tense. The smell of hamburger, which usually enticed him, now slightly nauseated him. Without looking at anyone, Tyrae climbed onto a stool at the counter and waited. "Gimme a burger with the works," said a deep voice behind him. Tyrae turned to face Bones, who had crept next to him. "Hey, Bones," Tyrae said softly, looking at the paper-thin skin stretching across the man's forehead. Bones did not turn his head. For a second, Tyrae thought Bones had not heard him, but then the skinny man spoke up.
"You don't know me, boy. Remember that," he said under his breath.
Tyrae nodded and looked away. He figured Bones did not want to be seen in public with someone he was selling a gun to. Tyrae had seen other kids in the neighborhood act the same way when they were selling something illegal. Without a word, Tyrae sat as Bones ate his burger and swallowed black coffee. Then Bones walked out onto the street. Tyrae waited a few seconds before following him.
"You're learning, little brother," Bones said when Tyrae met him in the alley around the corner. It stank of garbage.
Bones began to cough violently, his chest heaving uncontrollably.
"You all right?" Tyrae asked. "No, I'm the walking dead, boy. I got lung cancer," Bones said.
Tyrae looked up at Bones, stunned at his frankness. For an instant, he didn't know what to say. It was true that Bones looked sick, but Tyrae never figured it was that bad.
"So, you going to see a doctor or what?"
Tyrae finally said. Bones coughed again, spitting something red onto the ground. Then he turned and looked into Tyrae's face.
"You going to kill somebody, ain't you? I can see it. When a man is fixing to kill somebody, he gets a funny look. Maybe it's the blood pumping. Maybe it's the fear."
Tyrae stepped back, unsure how to respond. He just needed the gun. As long as he got the gun, he would say whatever the sick man wanted.
"I was about your age when I took out my first," Bones said, breaking the tense silence. "He had this baby face. He was young, yeah. Funny, I don't remember the others, but I remember him. He was a bad dude, but he had this baby face. Big, wide eyes like a cartoon. You remind me of him." "Just shut up and sell me the gun," Tyrae thought, struggling to remain calm. "I remember him when he was dying, and the way his eyes went wild and his cheeks puffed out, and the blood and all."
Bones took a long, hard look at Tyrae and then shook his head.
"You were just a little punk when I first met you. I always knew you were headed for trouble. Warren was always worried about you. He'd be all over me if he knew what I was doing. Let's get this over with before I change my mind. You got the money?"
$50, Tyrae said, handing over his mother's cash. Bones counted the money slowly, straightening each bill.
"I know I shouldn't sell you a gun, but I ain't stupid. If I don't sell it to you, some other fool will. And right now, I need the cash."
Bones folded the bills and placed them in his jacket pocket.
"Boy, you got a choice to make. This ain't on my hands. If you take that dude out, his face is gonna be with you till the day you die. You'll know it better than you know your mama's face. Be the last face you see every night before you go to sleep. Be the last face you see before you die."
There was a long silence.
"I'm sick of all you kids,"
Bones growled as he moved down the alley.
"What about my gun?"
Tyrae asked, his voice rising in alarm. Bones turned slightly and pointed a skinny finger at a rusting metal dumpster.
Look for the white bag on top of the dumpster. Tyree rushed to the dumpster and saw a small white bag perched on a pile of trash. Quickly, he snatched up the bag and ripped into it. Inside was a small, solid object wrapped tightly in newspaper. Tyree's hands were shaking so badly he nearly dropped the bundle. Finally, after removing several sheets of newspaper, Tyree broke through to the object. A small metal revolver rested in his palm. Tyree looked up into the alley. Bones was gone. Stuffing the gun into his backpack, Tyree hurried towards home, his heart pounding wildly. When Tyree got home, he tried to behave normally so his parents would not be suspicious. His mother's smile told him that she had not checked her room or noticed the missing money. Not yet. After dinner, Tyree went to his room and locked the door behind him. He pulled the gun from his backpack and stared at it in the dim light of his bedroom, its dull metal the color of a school blackboard. The gun was short and stubby, no bigger than Tyree's open hand. It almost seemed like a toy, except it was much heavier than any toy gun Tyree had played with as a child. It felt as if it was made of lead. Tyree raised the gun and pointed it. Seeing his shadow stretched out against his bedroom wall gave him a strange chill, and he turned away quickly. The gun was the answer, Tyree insisted to himself. He lifted the mattress of his bed and hid the gun underneath it. His mother never came into his room, and if she did, she would never look there. He lay back on the bed thinking about the gun hidden just below him. It was time to start setting everything right. On Saturday, Tyree hid the gun in his jacket and went to the apartment complex where Rodney Banks lived. Up until Darryl had his moment in the cafeteria, Tyree and Rodney hung out together on Saturday afternoons. Soon everything would go back the way it was. Very soon. Tyree spotted Rodney shooting baskets with a younger boy. Quickly, he approached them. "Banks, we gotta talk," he shouted. Rodney was preparing to make a long jump shot when he heard Tyree's voice. Hesitating for a second, he shot the ball, missing the basket completely. "Air ball," the other boy joked, getting the rebound. Rodney scowled at the boy and then slowly walked over to Tyree. "What's up?" Rodney asked.
"You turned on me, Banks. The minute the cash stopped rolling in, you were history," Tyree said bitterly.
Rodney looked at Tyree, watching him carefully but saying nothing.
"I got me a gun, Banks," Tyree continued, opening his coat so Rodney could see the weapon.
"Say what?"
Rodney gasped, looking into his pocket.
"Boy, you crazy?"
"Shut up, Banks," Tyree said sharply. "You were one of the ones who turned on me, and you know it. So don't start giving me static. Now listen up. I'm settling a lot of scores, and if you don't want to be one of them, you're going to do me a favor. You tell everyone that the time for dissing Tyree Hobbs is over. You put the fear into him, Banks. I want things back like old times."
"What are you going to do?" Rodney asked, beads of sweat forming on his forehead. Looking at the fear in Rodney's face, Tyree felt powerful. It was as if he had grown taller since he had gotten the gun.
"Don't you worry about it, Banks. You just do what I say, and you and me won't have no problems."
"Yeah, sure," Rodney said, his eyes wide with worry.
"Whatever you say. I want Darryl Mercer to sweat. You let him know what's coming down. You make sure he knows I'm coming for him," Tyree said.
"I'll do it.
He may have hit me with a cheap shot in the cafeteria, but I ain't done with him yet. He's going to wish he never met me."
As he spoke, Tyree stepped closer to Rodney, and in one swift motion, he pulled out the gun and shoved it into Rodney's stomach.
"Tyree, no,"
he pleaded, recoiling in fear. Tyree withdrew the gun and smiled.
"That's more like it," he said with a smirk.
Tyree felt better than he had in days. The gun felt comfortable in his hand as if he had owned it forever. He looked forward to the coming week. He couldn't wait to see Darryl's face when he emerged from a shadow, pointing his gun at the boy's chest.